Welcome to Beyond Treatment, Conversations for Cancer Survivors. I'm your host, Lisa Johnson-Blesky, Director of the Cancer Center of Western Wisconsin. Thanks for being here. In this series, we talk honestly about the many parts of survivorship, including the parts that feel surprisingly emotional or difficult. Today, we're talking about one of those everyday topics that can carry a lot more pressure than people expect. I'm excited to be here with Hannah Hokanson, an oncology dietitian who works with people living with cancer and cancer survivors across the entire journey, from active treatment through long-term survivorship. Hannah helps patients navigate the emotional side of food, energy, and recovery, especially when eating starts to feel stressful or loaded with pressure. Hannah, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about this important topic.
Today's episode is called Your Relationship with Food After Your Cancer Diagnosis: Pressure, Control, and Guilt. Cancer can change many things, including how people think about food. During and after treatment, survivors often feel pressure to eat perfectly, fear making the wrong choices, or carry guilt around food. Today we're going to talk about why food can feel so emotional with cancer, and what a more supportive, realistic relationship with food can look like. We have a few key questions we're going to ask you today, Hannah. The first question: how often does cancer change a person's relationship with food?
That is a great question. It changes a person's relationship with food very often. We see that change in relationship both with the initial cancer diagnosis. Also, it happens very often during treatment and after treatment. Now, with a cancer diagnosis, oftentimes people may feel that pressure to change their eating habits because of the cancer diagnosis. A person's relationship with food can change significantly during treatment, and that typically is related to side effects or symptoms that they may be experiencing. And then after treatment, it often changes as they're navigating their new normal and new eating patterns, new eating preferences. So yes, I would say it changes their relationship very often.
Thank you so much for that information. That's like a really great place to start. My next question: why does food feel so emotional after treatment ends?
So there would be a lot of different reasons for that, and honestly a lot of different emotions that someone may experience. I'll talk a little bit about during treatment and after treatment. So with a cancer diagnosis and with the start of treatment, there's a lot of emotions surrounding that, and that comes from that initial diagnosis and potentially a need to change eating habits, but also a lot of different emotions during treatment. And those can vary and range on a day-to-day basis. When we think about food and nutrition, of course there's the nutrition piece of things, but there's also a lot of, you know, social aspects of food and nutrition, or enjoyment aspects of food and nutrition. And when that's altered because of side effects that someone is experiencing during treatment, it certainly changes how they feel about food. When it comes to emotions after treatment, there's also an array of reasons and emotions that someone may experience. And those can range from happy, of course, because they've completed treatment and potentially they're celebrating with food. There's enjoyment, there's excitement. They could also be feeling happy because they are enjoying food more with the improvement of symptoms. You know, they're not navigating what foods are limited because of nausea or working through taste changes. So there's that excitement and happiness surrounding food and eating. But also on the flip side, there can be a lot of fear with eating. Fear of what should I eat? What can I eat? And potentially some disappointment of my preferences have changed. So food feels so emotional because it is, both with that diagnosis and during treatment and after diagnosis. And it could depend on the day, and whatever those feelings you're feeling are very valid.
I think a lot of that will resonate with our listeners, and they can relate so much to what you just said about the emotional ups and downs. Every day can be different with your relationship with food. Which I also am really interested in what you think. Why do survivors feel pressure to eat perfectly?
That is a great question. I think there's a lot of things that stem from that. One piece of things is it can either be self-inflicted in a sense. It comes from within of, I have this cancer diagnosis, I need to alter my eating habits. Or it could come from outside sources. You know, oftentimes coming from a good place, loved ones like family members, significant others, friends have a lot of input or ideas or suggestions about how someone should be eating. So I think that pressure, first and foremost, either comes from within or comes from those outside sources. But I would say ultimately the biggest thing that I see is that fear of recurrence or growth. And when it comes down to it, it's the control piece of things. So with a cancer diagnosis, with treatment, throughout treatment, there is so much loss of control, loss of sense of self. So much is not within someone's control. And food is one of those things that to some degree, based on, again, how someone is feeling or what they're experiencing, especially if we, you know, are getting to that point of after treatment, food is something that is controllable. So I think that's also where that pressure comes from, is this is within my control. I'm going to do whatever I can within my control to eat perfectly. So again, kind of that self or outside source pressure to do so.
Thank you for that, Hannah. I want to dive a little deeper into this. What foods do survivors commonly fear and why?
Oh, this brings me to probably one of my most asked questions or most said statements. Sugar. The amount of times that I hear sugar feeds cancer, or I've seen sugar feeds cancer, or so-and-so told me this, or I saw it on the internet, probably my most asked question or statement. So I would say that would be the top one, is sugar. That certainly could be a whole separate topic in and of itself. I do just want to touch on that to put any fear aside. There is no direct correlation between sugar and cancer. Again, there's a lot more depth to that, but that certainly is one of the biggest things, is I've eliminated all sugar, I'm cutting out all sugar. So that's a much lengthier, in-depth discussion. And again, we typically at that point dive into types of sugars, you know, added sugars versus natural sugars. But that is the biggest thing that is feared, is sugar. To go with that, carbohydrates tend to be lumped into that sugar category. So I often see that too, that carbohydrates across the board are feared, or people are limiting or restricting that. And the other one that I often see that there's some fear associated with it, or limitations or restrictions, would be processed meats or red meats. And again, that may be dependent on the cancer type, because the American Institute of Cancer Research does recommend limiting red meat to 12 to 18 ounces per week and limiting processed meats as much as possible. So there is some truth and depth to that. But sometimes it can be taken to an extreme. So it's important to have these healthy conversations and, you know, provide evidence-based information to these patients, because, yeah, they may have done a lot of research on the internet, or a family or friend may be providing input to them. But I would say, as far as foods that are typically feared, sugar first and foremost, I see often. Carbohydrates, again, kind of lumped into that category, and then potentially the processed meats and red meats.
I'm so glad you brought up the red meat and processed meat, because after my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, it's been 20 years, but after diagnosis, she swore off all red meat because she read an article on it. Now, that lasted shortly, and now, like I said, she's 20 years breast cancer free. So very exciting, but that totally resonated with me. What are some frequently asked questions you get from your cancer patients that you see?
I often get the "does sugar feed cancer" question. That is number one, first and foremost, what I get. And again, having that conversation about where that myth comes from and how to incorporate those healthy sources of natural sugars. Aside from that one, not necessarily question-based, but a comment that I often am told is, I could stand to lose a few pounds. You know, when we talk about the importance of adequate nutrition during cancer treatment in particular, patients tend to not fear weight loss because they will say that statement is, I could tend to lose a few pounds, it will be okay. So it's really important to have the conversation of the importance of adequate nutrition. Oftentimes, if someone is experiencing that unintentional weight loss, it is because they're not getting adequate nutrition, and therefore it impacts their strength. It pulls from their muscle mass. It impacts their strength, increases fatigue. So it's important for a patient really to disclose everything that they have questions about. You know, they've done research on the internet. They've had outside sources say, hey, my friend or my family member has this cancer diagnosis. They did this, and this, and this was their outcome. There's so much information out there on the internet coming from outside sources. So the more that someone can be open and honest with maybe what they found, what changes they've made, whether positive or not so positive, or how they're feeling, you know, when it comes to that question about, I could stand to lose a few pounds, that's where you can have those healthy conversations about, this is what is best.
To follow that up, what does a healthy relationship with food look like after cancer?
If there's one word that I would use to describe it, it would be balance. And honestly, it depends on the day and where a particular person is at. Are they in active treatment? Have they completed treatment? You know, where are they at within their chemo cycle if they're in active treatment or their radiation? It's very dependent on the day, and I think that is a healthy piece of things to know that it is going to fluctuate based on those factors. But also, when it comes to an overall picture with food, balance is also important. We really want an array of food groups. If there's a restriction, why, and is it necessary? So balance from day to day, depending on how the person is feeling, but also balance as a whole picture, incorporating a lot of good food groups and those nutrient-dense foods.
That reframe is very powerful. My next question has to do with guilt. What self-blame should survivors let go of?
A big piece of it would be people saying that they did this to themselves. Now, while there are certainly lifestyle factors and habits that can contribute to a cancer diagnosis, to pinpoint it to, oh, I ate this or I did this, ultimately one single factor is not going to lead to a cancer diagnosis. And I think in those instances where there's that self-blame, we can't go backwards. We can go forwards. And moving forward is what's most important.
I like that. I like that a lot. And that goes back to that control. We can take that control moving forward. What reassurance do you want survivors to hear?
When it comes to food, I want survivors to feel empowered. Oftentimes there is that fear. I should not eat this. I cannot eat this. They should feel empowered. We shouldn't necessarily be thinking about what we should take out. We should be thinking about what we can include. Now that comes again into play where a particular patient is at. If they are in active treatment, it can be empowering to use food as symptom management. If they have completed treatment or are having minimal or manageable side effects during treatment, they can feel empowered to incorporate nutrient-dense foods to think about their overall health.
I have to ask, why oncology? Why choose to be an oncology dietitian?
It's a great question, and there's honestly a lot of reasons for it. It's a totally different world. You know, when we think about nutrition and health, I think sometimes we tend to think about cutting out and restrictions and, oh, I can't have this. When it comes to oncology and cancer and overall health, it's a lot of navigating what can you have, what works for you. And there's so much variety where, yes, you maybe are seeing someone that was just diagnosed with cancer and they've cut out all these food groups and they're so fearful, and working through that with them. Or they're in the midst of treatment and they have no sense of taste, they have no appetite, they're nauseous, and eating and nutrition is so challenging. So to work with someone on such a personal level to find the foods that are working. And then of course in the survivorship aspect of things where you get to talk about long-term nutrition goals and making some positive changes and navigating through what they've been through, there's just such a variety and gamut of what I get to do. And I think that's surprising for people that maybe haven't worked with an oncology dietitian, because again, they think dietitian, oh, she's going to tell me what I shouldn't eat. And really realizing how impactful nutrition and food is with a cancer diagnosis, during treatment, after treatment. I mean, you can manage a lot of symptoms and side effects with food. You know, you can manage a lot of fatigue and really, you know, how you feel about yourself with food. Food is incredibly impactful, and people are so resilient. They are so resilient, and that is so motivating to see. It's an incredible population to work with. They appreciate every word that you give them.
That's awesome. You melt my heart talking about cancer patients and just how driven you are to help them no matter where they're at in their journey. And that means a lot. I've really enjoyed this conversation with you today. Before we wrap up, I really want to thank you again for sharing your perspective and your expertise with our listeners today.
I'm lucky to do what I do.
As a reminder, the information shared in this episode is meant to support and guide you. It is not a substitute for your own medical care. If questions come up or something resonates with you today, we encourage you to talk with your oncology care team or primary care provider. They know your history best and can help you decide what next steps are right for you. You do not have to navigate survivorship alone. Thanks for joining us today. Wherever you are in your survivorship journey, we are glad you are here.